What's wrong with you people?
Hey guys, welcome back to the Godly Whistleblower podcast. My name is Mackenzie Morgan. I am a music artist, a wife, a mom, and I've led worship over 10 years in the church. And my desire is to learn how to worship God in spirit and in truth according to His Word. And that's what this podcast seeks to do, while also calling out some of the false teachings that have infiltrated the church today, as well as learning how overall to offer our lives to God as a pleasing worship to Him. I always like to ask my listeners what topics they want me to talk about and cover, any rebuttals or questions that they have regarding to worship. I try to answer them to the best of my ability, and today's episode is one of the more highly asked questions that I've received in the past few weeks even, and that is guilt by association. Do we completely cut ties with an artist, not singing their music anymore, not following or listening to any of their teachings, if they're a teacher or if they're a worship music artist? Do we not sing any of their songs in church or even listen to them based on who they associate with? Do we cut ties with an artist just because they have associated with someone else who associated with someone like Bethel or Hillsong or fill in the blank? Or is it okay? Where do we draw the line? Is there a line? Is it black and white and a concrete answer and formula for this? Or is this sometimes a gray area that we have to work through with discernment through scripture? These are questions that are really good questions, but we're going to use scripture to get into them today and find out an answer. I'm going to try to give you an answer to the best of my ability, but hang in there with me. Have you some coffee like I have right here, or some tea, and we will get into some of these questions. If you are watching on YouTube, be sure to hit the little bell and be notified whenever we post new episodes. I upload every Wednesday a new episode to the podcast. And if you're listening wherever you're listening from, on Apple, Spotify, Google, wherever you listen to your podcasts, appreciate if you would leave me a review and comment something that you're enjoying about the show. Your feedback through reviews is really the only way that I know what's going on and who's listening to this. So your reviews are very important, and they tell the algorithm, hey, people like this, and then I know you like it too. So thank you so much though for your support, and yeah, let's get into the episode. I didn't have my Bible. I just went and grabbed it, so you can grab yours as well. Like I said, grab your coffee. I'm having an espresso today. I have fallen back in love with Nespresso coffee. If anyone has an espresso machine, you know the love is real. But having Nespresso Melozio, you're probably like, Mackenzie, what the heck is that? It's an espresso thing, all right? But I hope you guys are doing well. I hope you're having a great week. I have been so busy. This has been like the busiest week of my life, because I don't know when this episode is coming out, but this week in real time, I launched the podcast this past week. This past Wednesday, I launched the podcast. So it has been nonstop. And I want to thank you guys so much for all of your shares and reviews and just for listening to this podcast. You put something out in the world and you're afraid that no one is going to actually listen to what you have to say, but a lot of you are, and that's really encouraging. Podcasts are a lot different than releasing music. I'm used to like uploading things to the streaming services that are all the same for uploading stuff like podcasts to. It's the same streaming services, but like podcasts are this whole other beast that I'm still learning and trying to figure out what to do and making mistakes along the way. So bear with me. I do want to read a review. I would like to read one of your guys' reviews in each episode, or YouTube comments or something, but I'll go to Apple Podcasts and read this review from the Bustinator. Some of these nicknames on Apple Podcasts are quite hilarious. but it says, Mackenzie's backstory and stories from the viewpoint of a church worship leader are fun and lighthearted. She leads with vulnerability and humility about scripture and worship and how that relates to our lives. First episode was great. Looking forward to what comes next. Thank you, the Bustinator. That is very sweet, and I appreciate your watching and tuning in. I think this episode might be a little longer, maybe not. It's always a surprise when you hit end recording at the end of this. But so for choosing songs for the worship service, our song selection should, of course, always be rooted in spirit and in truth, like John 4:24 says. Our songs should be deep in theology and accurately conveying the gospel message, of course. That is a given. And songs written by questionable sources such as Bethel, Hillsong, Elevation, even offsets of those, like, you know, Jesus Culture, for example, which is a derivative of Bethel music, should be avoided because of the mega influence that these churches have across the board, across the world, who are actively teaching and promoting false teachings from the pulpit very regularly. On Sunday mornings, on YouTube, their social presence, their media, their whole branding, their everything, their whole message is very popular, very well widespread across the internet, in many churches today. The bigger headlining artists are often pretty easy to discern whether or not to sing their music, such as, you know, Bethel, Hillsong, Elevation. A lot of people who fall into, I guess, my camp of like being wary of organizations like Bethel, we can pretty much agree on Bethel, Hillsong, Elevation. They're kind of like the trifecta, if you will, of, if you will, false churches. People can usually all agree on those three, but then think of it like a pyramid, and those three are at the top. And then as we trickle down, it gets a little broader. It gets a little less narrow, less distinguishable, and there's many a music artist out there, if we're just specifically talking about the music side of things, a lot of music artists out there, a lot of Christian singers, bands, etc. Like, and it starts to get very gray, for lack of a better word, where someone's singing with this certain artist who sang at Hillsong last Sunday, who wrote something with whose song wrote with Stephen Furtick from Elevation, you know, and we start drawing all of this red tape and the spider webs, and it starts branching out, and it's like, wait, I thought this person was solid. Why are they collaborating with so-and-so? Like, he's a false teacher, you know, like, so then we're over here second-guessing ourselves in our decision to listen to this artist or this teacher. And we're thinking to ourselves, should we be singing this music in church now based on what we're seeing come out from them or what they're saying now or who they're collaborating with? So what do we do with these certain artists that aren't as popular as, say, Bethel music or Hillsong music? Hillsong has been around for like, what, over 30 years at this point. What do we do with these other newer artists and artists that aren't as well known but who are collaborating with these other bigger artists or similar ones? The lines start to get a little fuzzy sometimes as to how close certain artists should or shouldn't be to the false teachers before we start writing them off and before we start not singing their music anymore. Let's dive into scripture and see what scripture has to say about false teachers and about associations, because I think there are a few that would be very helpful to us. Let's go to Matthew 7:15-20. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. I think the key part in that is that we will recognize them, meaning false teachers, by their fruits. And scripture is very clear in multiple other passages to not associate with false teachers and to have nothing to do with them, and especially not to allow them into the body. And also meaning what they do inside and outside of the church gathering, we can look at these things. That can be, that is someone's fruit, like what they do, of course, inside the body, but also how they live their lives. And we can look at these things and compare them with the Word of God as our lens in order to discern if someone is biblically sound. This is not a quick process usually, I will say. It requires some digging, and that just takes time. That just takes due diligence. Of course, we don't have time to, like, you know, we have lives to live, of course, and sometimes there is not enough information out there. But back to Bethel. Bethel Church has proven themselves countless times to be the false teachers, full of the false teachers that they are full of and that they are. And they teach very dangerous theology and doctrine from the pulpit as well as in their songs, and we should avoid them at all costs in our personal lives, I believe, as well as definitely in the house of the Lord, in our worship to Him within the gathering. Their teachings, their music, their Hogwarts school, their school of supernatural ministry, all of it. And also the band, like I said, Jesus Culture, they are a derivative stemming right from under Bethel. But what about other artists that do associate with Bethel? Do we label them as a heretic and throw them out with the bathwater? Or what do we do if they get too close? Well, it depends on the kind of closeness that we're talking about. We have to discern to the best of our ability, with the Holy Spirit being our guide, and scripture, of course, to do what we can with the pieces that we have. We can only make the puzzle so complete if we have the right pieces. And sometimes they're hard to find. Sometimes they will come later, because I believe that the Lord will reveal the fruits of those who are not doing His work in His name. And I think He will reveal that to us, which He definitely has with a few. And in due time, we might have more clarity. So while there's no algebraic formula for this, there are different situations and elements to the bigger picture that each time always need to be accounted for in their own way, individually, because no situation is the same. There's always different details, and this stuff is all in the details. That's why it's gray. It's not black and white. It's really not. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's very easy to see, and sometimes it's not. So that's why I feel like this question is asked so much and kind of obsessed over, because, you know, a lot of people are just wanting sound worship to sing in their church or in their personal lives. They don't want to support someone that is potentially dangerous. You know, I understand the sentiment and I understand the heart. I want the same thing. It shouldn't be this hard, I know, but this is the world we live in. We live in a fallen world with fallen people. Of course, we have the Holy Spirit to help us discern these things, which I think is more than enough. And I don't think God will lead us wrong, or would. I'd like to give some examples here of some associations that have happened in the past, or instances that can maybe help us draw some sort of line in the sand as to how we can categorize these instances in our minds. But I will say, like, I'm not going to go through every single artist and every single teacher and just be like, yep, they're sound, or nope, they're not sound, nope, write them off, or yes, check their box. Like, it can get really legalistic really fast. I picked this example to go into, but I was kind of biting myself in the foot because this is actually a really hard one. This is one of those gray areas, and I thought that this would be like kind of two birds with one stone, killing two birds with one stone. You'll see what I mean when I explain why. But we're going to talk a little bit about an artist, Chris Tomlin. We're going to go into a little bit about Chris and kind of I'll walk you through, help try to walk through a thought process in order to show an example of what I mean by this gray area. Chris has partnered with and endorsed certain organizations over the years and been associated with people that are very dangerous in definition. Chris has been known in the past for being a pretty solid guy. He has been around. I remember listening to his stuff on K-Love when I was like a little girl, like in the backseat, like 8 years old. So he's still going though. He's still kicking it. You know, the past several years has begun to go into some certain territory that is questionable and would be by definition dangerous to the flock, in air quotes. A lot of his music is pretty okay. It's not very deep, a lot of it. It's very CCM driven, easy listening sort of thing, not too deep in theology. That's just a fact. That's not really like my, of course, my preference would be, you know, deeper for the gathering, for personal listening. I mean, you know, it's just easy listening, not something that I would say, this is really going to benefit our worship today, you know. But he has a couple of pretty good songs, you know. I don't know his entire catalog, but of course, whether or not someone's music catalog is solid has no merit if they are closely intertwined promoting and endorsing false teachers in a way that they fully agree, fully support, and embrace their same teachings and doctrines and are also teaching and promoting those as well. Chris has written several songs with Bethel Music and has taught classes at Bethel's Music College. He's also toured with Bethel Music. So now I say all of that just because an artist tours with another artist does not always mean that they are endorsing someone or promoting them and fully agree with them. You know, sometimes there are certain organizations who put on concerts and different workshops and seminars and different churches and so on, who invite these artists all individually to come and perform. And one artist may not know who the other roster of artists are going to be. Just because we see someone performing with someone else does not mean that they are closely connected, does not mean that they endorse one another, or, you know, I've seen that happen a lot and people getting all up in arms on social media, like, I can't believe that this so-and-so is performing with them, like, oh, I'm so sad, like, you know, it's not always, they don't know a lot of time, they're just there, you know, they were just asked to be there, so they're just performing, like, and so-and-so just happened to show up, and they're just all there. Of course, they probably know closer to the gig, but it's like, they're just there to perform. They have been asked to be there by a certain organization that's putting on this whole event. Since Chris supports Bethel publicly, we then know he has no problem performing with them on his own personal tours or theirs. Chris is also the host of the Jesus Calling Show, which Jesus Calling is a very popular book by Sarah Young, if you haven't heard of it. It is a heretical work where Young claims that Jesus spoke certain things to her. She put them in this book called Jesus Calling. So we would definitely say that that is a false teaching because the canon is closed, scripture is closed, and if God is still talking and people are still writing, that's a problem because contradicting the scriptures is a big deal. That's how we got the Book of Mormon. So we're not accepting any more works. The canon is closed, the shop is closed, we're done. You're done.
You're done. You're done.
We must be consistent and treat other writings, no matter how Christian-y they are or seem, just as the false teachings that they are. I looked up the Jesus Calling Show, and it looks to have like quite a few popular, like trendy Christian people or some country artists that are like Christian in their personal lives, who are country artists that are Christian that have gone on there, and Chris is the host. It seems like a very generic kind of show, not meaning generic in a bad way, but just meaning like it seems pretty cut and dry, like yeah, we're just going to have people share their stories and how God is working in their life. It seems something more like that, but it's the brand Jesus Calling. So it's just not good. Chris is also heavily involved with Joyce Meyer, and he frequently has performed at her worship conferences, or he's led worship at her conferences. Joyce Meyer is a Word of Faith, prosperity gospel preacher. Even when I used to listen to Joyce, I remember back in the day, I remember hearing like the promo video for her that would come on before her sermons, like Joyce Meyer conference this summer and leading worship Chris Tomlin and so-and-so. And Chris Tomlin was always like, seemed like the big name that was going to be singing and leading worship at her conferences. So he's been doing that a long time, I know. After all that, is Tomlin a dangerous source to let into our personal lives with our personal listening or within the church gathering, within the music part of our worship service? I don't think he is. I think he is an artist who lacks some pretty big discernment skills. There are many artists in the game today, and the Christian music game specifically, that I believe do have a genuine heart for God. They desire authentic worship. They want to, you know, of course, represent the Lord to the best of their abilities, and that they truly do love the Lord, but they are simply aloof to the wolves that they run alongside. It does exist. There are these people. Who exactly they are can get a little hairy, but should we use his music, Chris Tomlin's music, in our worship sets? You know, I personally wouldn't, but like I said, I believe his music is more so for the easy listening ear. I don't think it's suited for Sunday mornings, just in the nature, because I mean, a couple songs, like I said, are okay, but a lot of it is pretty like bland. It's not super edifying. So I feel like for the Sunday gathering, we could do much better. I don't think Tomlin, though, is someone to lose sleep over, is my point. Some people may feel differently. Some people may feel that he is very dangerous and should be avoided at all costs based on his associations and whatnot. But what I'm saying is that our focus should not be centered solely, and our standard should not be solely on the associations. I feel like when we are so focused on that and so focused on the cobwebs and the red tape, and just like, you know, in a movie, you see someone trying to figure out the, like, what happened in the crime scene, and they have all the strings literally going every which direction, and all the maps and the photos and the graphs and the and pointing to this and that and trying to figure out the answers. I feel like we get so narrow-minded that we are putting our standard in the wrong thing and are putting our trust in who they associate with and looking to that to be the formula as to whether or not we should listen to them or have anything to do with them, instead of the foundation of Scripture and Scripture alone and what this says, what Scripture says about should we associate with them or not, based on what God has told us and how he has told us to discern them by their fruit. And a lot of these people, we are not able to accurately discern properly because there is simply not enough information out there, or they don't have enough of a spotlight on them yet. They might not be as big of someone like Hillsong, who is very easily able to be looked up, and you're able to figure out a lot about Hillsong by Googling them. Some artists may not be that way. They may be too new, or there's just not a lot out there on them. But sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes it's good if there's not a whole lot of juice out there about someone, not a lot of scandal. Of course, scandal is heavily monetized in entertainment world, of course, but, you know, organizations like Hillsong's scandals, for instance, you know, those have been proven, a lot of those have been proven true, so we can know that those are credible. Let's take a look, though, at another example and look at the Gettys. The Gettys are Keith and Kristen Getty. They are a husband-wife duo from Northern Ireland, and they were some of the writers on In Christ Alone, the very popular modern hymn that we all know and love and have sang in church today. They write, sing, and perform many beautiful hymns, rich in biblical truth, rich in theology, and I personally really enjoy singing their music. We sing their music in my church. But in 2023, just last year, the Gettys came under fire for attending the 2023 Grammys. Every year at the Grammys, there is always one performance that is satanic and demonic and dark and ominous that everyone freaks out over. Everyone meaning Christians on social media. The day after the Grammys, after it's all said and done, everyone freaks out for a couple days over the heinousness of the performance of whoever performed that year and graced the stage with their twerking or foul language or a combination of both, whatever. And last year, I believe it was, Sam Smith and Kim Petras performing, I think the song is called Unholy, which is should give you an idea of what it was about. Don't go look it up if you don't want your eyes to need to be bleached afterwards. But needless to say, there was very corny, devilish imagery, very scantily clad people. I'll just say people. Dancers. There were cages. I'm trying to remember. It's been obviously over a year. And I saw clips on social media. But it was everywhere. Like, literally everyone was talking about it, Christian or not, you know, after the Grammys. The Grammys are a pretty big deal. But Keith and Kristen Getty were in attendance at the Grammys. I think they were nominated for their first ever Grammy. So, you know, they went to the Grammys. I was so surprised, though, that they were so heavily criticized for attending the Grammys. And honestly, I mean, I know everything happened very fast, you know, because it's like, they're going to the Grammys. They're at the Grammys. Sam Smith performs. Oh no, now what are they doing? How could you have gone to the Grammys with Sam Smith performing? Once again, I don't think Keith and Kristen Getty knew that Sam Smith was going to be making a mockery of God and everything with his awful, unholy, literally, performance. I don't think that they were in agreement with that just because they went to the Grammys. There are a lot of artists who go to the Grammys. There's a lot of people there. No one probably knew about Sam Smith's performance. But just because an artist is a part or invited to an organized event does not mean that they endorse or promote any of the other artists in attendance. You know, there's people there from all different genres of music, so of course, all different walks of life. People were mad though that they didn't walk out, that they didn't leave and just leave the whole thing altogether. But the Gettys came out with a statement that they, you know, they did not agree with this performance, but they were asked to be there. The Grammys are an obvious place that secular artists are going to be performing. I'm sure they knew what they were getting into. Just because you're in a location with other people doing, with secular people doing secular things. I mean, shocker, you know, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe unsaved people are acting unsaved. How are we supposed to be a light in a dark room if we never go where the darkness is? You know, if we want to reach the lost, we're going to have to go where the lost are. I mean, praise God that the Gettys were at the Grammys. You know, at least there were two Christian people there, you know, that we know of. Maybe they were able to have an influence on someone. Who knows? But just because they didn't physically walk out and show the whole world and make a spectacle of themselves of like, we don't agree with secular people doing these raunchy things, we're going to leave. Just because they didn't do that does not mean that they endorse or promote or are false teachers or unbiblical sources, whatever you want to call it, does not mean that. We like to throw around words like promote, endorse, partnered with. In reality, a lot of times when we're throwing those words around, that's not really the circumstance of what is even happening. just because an artist or a band is part of, let's say, a concert or event with other artists on the roster who are all there performing, maybe these artists rooted in dangerous teachings. It does not mean the artist is endorsing them. You know, what are the facts? Who's putting on the event? What organization is this a part of? What is this organization teaching? A lot of times these events are, like I said, hosted by someone else and the artist has no control over who shows up. So my point is, if there's only one solid group out of the whole lineup, then praise God that they're there to shine a light in the midst of all the darkness that surrounds them. Now, if it's a different thing, like if they are endorsing these same practices of these other, let's say, false teachers who are there, you know, or unbiblical sources, if they're worship artists or music artists, whatever they are, if the artist is promoting those same things, well then yeah, they would be lumped in the same pot. So let's be sure of what is actually a partnership or an endorsement. You know, I would definitely say songwriting with an individual would definitely be a partnership, if you will. Or if you are performing at this artist's event, say if Bethel Music puts on this worship conference and they're like, hey, Chris, or hey, Maverick City Worship, you know, like, you guys want to come perform on our Bethel Music tour, whatever. And they do, yeah, I guess they're in cahoots. So let's just, you know, I feel like a lot of people understand the difference in the terminology, but some people throw it around very helter-skelter. So just wanted to make that clear. Even the Gettys have had a couple of questionable associations over the years. You know, they've written songs with Chris Tomlin. That's why I was like, oh my gosh, I'm picking like the hardest example to give because they're like intertwined with each other. So, you know, the trap is with following the logic and the only standard being the associations aspect of it. Well, Chris Tomlin associated with Bethel and the Gettys wrote with Chris. So the Gettys are connected to Bethel. You know, it's like, hold on. I don't think the Gettys fruit is the same fruit as Bethel. And this point in time, now, mind you, things can always change. Things happen. Not saying it's not going to in history. And if someone in history is watching this and is like, oh, but they just did that, I don't know what the future holds. I think that they are good sources, and until they prove otherwise, I think we shouldn't disqualify them over that. I think we're losing sight of what is truly important here. If we base our standards on who an artist associates with and make that our number one ride or die, I think we're going to be disappointed and we're not going to be able to listen to anybody because I promise you, there is some, your favorite artists, they are associated with someone in some certain way. It's a small world, I'll just say. So I'm not trying to just paint it all with a broad brush. You know, I'm trying to be fair. I'm trying to give you the bumper railings that you need to make your own personal decision. Because this stuff is personal. This is not cut and dry. Someone is going to have different convictions than another person. I feel like at a certain extent, we are able to have Christian liberty when it comes to these more gray areas of artists that, well, I don't necessarily like who they associate with, but I'm just encouraging you, put on the brakes, stop and smell the roses, look around, let's do some digging, and then with the help of scripture, come to a reasonable conclusion using discernment and guiding help from the Holy Spirit. Some people are going to come to different conclusions on that, you know, just like people do with every area of theology in this book, you know, but at the end of the day, we can all sing Kumbaya and rejoice in the primary issues that we are all the same in, hopefully, and not squabble, I guess, too much on the secondary stuff, but still treat it with the same respect and study that it deserves, because it's still important, and we still need to do our due diligence, but, you know, having grace. I'm just trying to help you not go too far in one extreme, too far to the other. Truth is usually found somewhere in the middle, pulling from both sides. So, how we apply that to each situation with each artist, each teacher that comes along, there are new ones coming out every day. The answer will always need to be dug out and researched. So, encouraging you to just take time to do that if you feel convicted to do so about a certain artist or individual. And instead of looking at associations only, let's look at what these, if the information is readily available, what are these people actively promoting? What church do they go to? What church are they a part of? Are they teaching, if they are teachers, dangerous doctrines? I mean, worship artists, musicians, they're not really teachers, but for the sake of the argument, you could argue that they are teachers because it's very trendy for worship artists, Christian music artists to get on stage and give a 10-minute mini sermon from scripture before they go into their next song. So by definition, I could say that a musician is a false teacher if they are doing that in their concerts and actively teaching a whole group of people something. So even though they're musicians, sometimes, yeah, you can call them teachers too. Let's look at their fruit. That's what scripture says. We will know them by their fruit. It's the same way we know who false teachers are. Do certain artists need to do a better job of who they associate themselves with? Absolutely. But an artist also can't be wholly and totally responsible for another artist's actions if they decide one day they want to go off the crazy train. Sometimes artists collaborated with an artist who back in the day was sane, was not a false teacher, was solid, and then they went on to possibly become a false teacher. You know, I don't know. It has happened. Just because they wrote a song though back in the day, you know, what is the timeline of these things? We also need to be looking at dates, and what's happening today is not the same thing that was happening 20 years ago, you know, or even 1 year ago. People change, sometimes for the worst, hopefully for the always the better, but sometimes it is for the worst. It's a lot to keep up with though. It's hard to stay up to date with who's associating with who, who's going to whose conference, who wrote a song with what's his name, and then they know Bethel, and then he knows this dude, and it's all just a mess, and it's hard to figure out what's going on. Last year, you had not collaborated with this person, and then now you have. What does that mean for my life here? What is the trajectory of my life based on your decision to do this? So let's just stop and breathe and use a biblical lens to look at the situation. My point is, on our side of the fence, we are not always able to have all the facts and information because they may not be readily available online, or there just might not be enough information ever for us to make a proper judgment. At that point, we need to go to the Lord in prayer and use our discernment to the best of our ability to weigh the situation depending on the circumstances and the fine lines, and come to a decision that way. It's not the easiest answer as someone just telling you, or you asking me per se, like, Mackenzie, is so-and-so solid? Like, I honestly am not going to give you that answer right off the bat, because I'm gonna be honest, this is stuff going out on the internet, and the internet is a forever kind of place. And I have to be very careful about what I say and how I say it. I take these things like calling someone a false teacher very seriously. I don't like doing it. It reminded me of Aladdin.
It's not a pretty picture. I don't like doing it.
If it becomes apparent, though, that an artist is changing their beliefs, teaching those beliefs contradictory to what scripture says, and becoming dangerous to the body as a result of that, as well as with their associations with false teachers, then it may be time to question whether or not to continue using their materials, using their music, and allowing them into the church body as well as in our personal lives and personal worship. We also don't need to forget about the people that Jesus himself hung around with and ministered to. So if you have your Bible, Matthew 9:11 says, "And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, 'Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?'" Of course, he did not promote, endorse, partner with, affirm their sins. He did not leave them where they were, and he was not this hippie Jesus who just went and hung out with the sinners and tried to be one of them and did not minister to them and tell them to repent and go sin no more. He absolutely did. Just want to be very clear on that. But he was definitely judged for the people that he hung around with, such as the tax collectors, from the tax collectors to the woman at the well. Jesus was heavily scrutinized and chastised for even speaking or even glancing at these people. So we need to be careful that we're not judging a situation for what it's not. Maybe in some instances, it's not an endorsement that someone is partaking in, but maybe it's an evangelism opportunity. Each situation is different. That's not an across-the-board statement, and I think that ties in with just having grace. I'll tell you, it's hard to know sometimes. It is. That's a fact. It's hard. It was hard to do this episode. It's hard to know someone's heart. Going by their fruit is a very good indicator of their heart because, like scripture says, a bad tree cannot produce good fruit and vice versa. But we don't need to lose sight of what should be our true focus and our true mission in Christ, which is doing our due diligence, using our discernment, and letting the Holy Spirit guide us, and not squabbling over secondary but important issues where we need to be spending our energy elsewhere. It's still important, though. It's a still valid question, but we don't need to get too in the weeds to where we are just so overwhelmed and stressed and worried and grieving ourselves even to an unhealthy extent. I want to go to some scripture to end with in 2 Peter 3:17-18. I also want to add before I read this, though, that in these hard situations, it's only the Holy Spirit that is going to be able to direct you because he's the only one who really knows the situation and knows what's going on. Appeal to your conscience, appeal to the Holy Spirit's nudging of your heart. And if you are tempted or don't feel like you should listen to so-and-so, by all means, do not do it. Do not violate your conscience and violate what the Holy Spirit is trying to speak to you. But that might not be the same for another person, or another person might come to the same decision later on. So let's have grace with each other, first and foremost, and grace with ourselves that we're not always going to have all the answers. And I did not make this episode to have all the answers to you, but I give you my best answer, which is to go to this to be your guide. Let's read 2 Peter 3:17-18. "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." So I hope that is our prayer and our goal in how we live our lives, as well as how we handle this situation and the situations that we will have going forward where there is new dirt coming out on a certain artist that we loved and held onto so dearly, because let's be honest, there's not a lot of solid worship artists, music artists to sing in church or sing for personal worship that are not the main trifecta. Like I said, Bethel, Hillsong, Elevation, they are everywhere and they kind of run the roost. So it's hard to find other solid artists that are not like them in what they teach. So I know it's slim pickings, but we do have some solid people and we need to hold on to them and support them. If you want sources, I can try to get back with you and recommend some. And I want to do that in another future episode, focusing on who we can listen to and the good stuff that we have to partake in. But I hope that was encouraging, and I hope that through prayer, you're able to tackle these hard questions and come to a decision based on truth and not your opinion or someone else's, not even mine. I will see you all next week. And if you have not left a review yet, like I said, would greatly appreciate you leaving a review of this podcast. And if there's anything that you would like me to tackle, a certain topic or something in regards to worship, I would love to hear your suggestions in the comments. And or you can send me a message on Instagram, DM me, or Facebook. You can message me there. But thank you guys so much for watching. I can't wait to see you all in my next episode, and I hope you guys have a lovely week. Bye.